Have you ever thought about that while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb? I did. I actually bought two homes in Albuquerque that I Airbnb'd, and it was just an amazing investment, honestly, because, you know, as you are accruing value in your property, you are also making money on the Airbnbs. It's amazing. So your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have. It's an award-winning tequila. It's infused with real juice, with real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. It's real. So you need like two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail. Hey, you know how I'm always trying to keep my house parties exciting? New cocktails? Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's something that's going to flip the script.
Okay.
All right, 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Yeah. Tell me more about this, right? Oliver Hudson.
Yeah, 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila that's infused with juice from real fruits. You only need two to three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
Wait a minute. I think I know what brand you're talking about. You know why?
Yeah.
Because 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend. It's female founded.
That's right.
See?
Sounds
See
like
how I know? Something I can get behind.
I know. Well, there's a good story behind that for sure. Listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling rivalry.
No, no.
Sibling rivalry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling rivalry.
That's good.
Emails.
Emails.
Emails. What you gonna do with those emails?
What's in
emails?
It? Your inbox.
Oh, yes. Well, shall we get straight into it?
I mean, and yeah, this is our favorite. People love them.
Forget
we love
all the
them.
Small talk. Let's just get right into
it. Let's do it.
Email.
Who wants to go first?
Well,
you go first. No, don't look. Don't cheat.
I'm going to cheat. I was about to cheat because I know that Allison puts like a sad warning. So I was trying not to get that one, but maybe it'll work out in my favor. Here we go. Hi, Kate and Oliver. Amy here. Longtime listener, first-time emailer. Currently residing in a two-bedroom estate in South Philadelphia. Hashtag go birds. First, your podcast is thoroughly enjoyable, and I am envious of the relationship that you have with each other. Having a close relationship with my brother is something that I've always wanted for as long as I can remember. But if there's one thing I've learned in this life, you can't force anyone to like you, love you, or want to be your friend. And that includes a sibling. Especially when one sibling is in therapy, i.e. me, and the other has chosen to stuff the issues way, way down. Mm. Anywho, I just finished listening to the episode, How to Get Over Yourself with Dr. Mark Epstein, and I have to say, the analogy of driving with the windows down, hair blowing in the wind, singing along to a tune, and being totally free really struck a chord with me. I know those moments. I love those moments.
Yes.
And it never really dawned on me how really free those moments truly are. Clear head, clear heart, pure epic joy. So true.
Yeah.
So true.
It's the best.
As my subject line states, it was a mini aha moment of sorts.
Yes.
Something to store in the back of my brain and remember to try to live life as if I'm riding down the highway, scream singing to some epically nostalgic tune, and just let go of all the things I think are holding me back. Thank you for the podcast and the gift of this aha moment. Cheers, Amy.
Yes.
P.S.
Yes.
The nostalgic portion of my pandemic is in full swing. I just finished watching season 6 of Dawson's Creek, and Eddie and Joey should have totally ended up together. My 20-something self was all in on Pacey, but my 40-something self would choose Eddie in a heartbeat.
Oh, that's the best.
Amy, Eddie Doling.
Amy, that's the best. Ollie, that's good so one. Funny.
I love that email.
Yeah,
it made
that
me
was
feel good.
Such a good email. It does. That is a feel-good email. And how great was Dr. Epstein? I just loved him so much. Found out after that, I got a phone call from a friend who will remain nameless, who called me and said, "That's my therapist."
No way.
Yes. No I was like, way. What? You're so lucky. He's so great.
That's so funny.
And then he said, is he? Because I still have so many problems. No, but he was kidding. He was totally kidding. He said he's
That's
the most
awesome.
Amazing therapist. But yeah, it was really, really cool. And I loved him. But you're right. Like, it's so good to have those sort of like, in your brain Rolodex of visuals, things that feel visceral, that driving down the highway moment, you know?
Because
it
love
is.
That.
I feel like everybody can relate to that. I'm so glad that she wrote that in.
It's so fun. I know. It's true.
She says,
You can feel that.
I love these moments. It's like, I love those moments too. It's just so great. And
what song do you think you'd be playing?
Well, it depends on the era of my life, because I've had those moments, and they are to a certain song. So,
okay,
like,
but what about forget about what you've done in the past? Let's just say you're on an East Coast sort of lonely highway. The sun is amazingly beautiful, and you're on a beach, strip of beach, and there's like the dunes, you know, sort of the grassy dunes, and you're just flying down. Sort of a two-lane highway. You know, what song are you blasting in your convertible? Like Don Henley? Like
Probably
Boys of Summer?
Beast of Burden.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
Because it's got like this beat to it that's like, when you hear Beast of Burden, I'm just going to play it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just there. Like, my whole being is like, oh, yes.
Yeah, that's
good.
It's
got, like, a great driving groove.
Yep.
The other one. I'll never be your beast of burden.
Oh, what a song. Oh, Jesus Christ.
So that might be my, like, number one. There's the whole album of Tattoo You for me was like that moment, like that freeing moment in my life, right? Mm-hmm. First the Stones. Mm-hmm. But the Cranberries, when I was 16 and got my car, it was all about the Cranberries. You know.
Which song?
You know.
Right.
What was it? Let's see.
Oh, yeah.
Boys on the Side, you know? Remember Boys on the Side?
Yeah, that's a Drew Barrymore movie, right?
Yeah, and you like put the car down.
Right.
And you're just like, woo!
That's amazing.
Okay, and then here's my other vibe. Which would be another 90s moment, which is just like always my go-to. This is just really loud, great system. Yeah. No.
Oh.
No.
Tribe.
Just Tribe.
Yeah.
In the car. Blast it right here.
Yeah.
Go.
Oh, God, I mean,
of there's course. No better fucking.
Nah, it's
like.
Can I kick it? Yeah.
It's just
chill
like,
inducing. Yeah, it's true. That's an era.
I mean, it's just too good.
Yeah. Oh.
So
well,
what
thank
was
you
yours?
For that email.
No, you got to give me one. I just like took
oh,
that.
Oh, God.
Over.
I wasn't even thinking. You know what I love, which Toto, is a traveling song Africa. To me. You were married. I do love that. But you were married to this man. I love Wiser Time. Like, there's something about that song that is traveling. It's on the road for me. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really loud.
Yeah.
This was So this was the part in the show every time the Black Crowes. Where there was like a set of like three or four songs that were always like, that's where you go out. When you're on the road for a long time, you skip a lot of songs, you know?
Yeah.
Great song.
There's so many. And then Don Henley for me. Like, there's something about like Boys of Summer, you know?
Yeah.
That is nostalgic. And that reminds me of driving down the beach.
Oh, this reminds me of Muskoka, like in the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, you know who loved this? This is why. This is Becca. This was on.
Yeah.
Your high school girlfriend put that on her mixtape to you.
Yes.
And I know that because I stole it.
That's right. That's right. And then, of course, Bob Marley, legend, the whole album. Yeah. Just throw that on and then just drive next to the ocean.
Oh, so fun. Okay.
Cool. Fun. Thanks for the memory lane.
We should do a Spotify
sibling revelry playlist
for driving. For anxiety free moments.
I love that idea. That's a great idea.
I've been thinking a lot about the episode that we did with Lisa and memory. And I've been writing down a lot more since we had her on the podcast, that I've been kind of writing my day out. Not in a silly way, not like I went and like drove to see like my doctor, but I'm putting down in my phone things that happen in a day that are either like funny or like interesting things that Bing does or Ronnie did or said. And it's really fun. And then I kind of translate them at night. I just write them in my sort of daily diary.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking back, I've been at like a week of them. And it's funny how quickly you forget.
Oh, yeah.
Like within like 3 days, I forgot, you know, what Ryder had said. And then I looked at it. I was like, oh, I would have never remembered it, you know?
That's a good idea.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Bodhi found, because for some reason I've kept all my iPhones. I don't know why. There's a drawer of them. But it's
probably because you're paranoid. I'm like paranoid.
He has an iPhone 1. Okay, and he found a charger for it and plugged it in, and it came to life. And there's all these fucking pictures from it was amazing, and videos and stuff. It was unreal.
Did you dump it out into the computer?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I gotta do that. Oh, I did so it on great. My hard drives and stuff, but I gotta go through all that stuff. Oh,
well, that's the thing too. It's just about. It was almost easier back then when it was photos and you went to the photo mat, and now they're in books and it's tangible. I have so much digital memory everywhere around me, between
digital
VHS
shit.
Tapes, between mini DV tapes, whatever. I don't know what. And now we're dealing with SD cards and this and that. And remember the flip camera? Oh, I have one right here. Look at this. Dude, remember this?
I know. I have that, yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I even had it sitting right here. I don't know.
By the way, I had those when Bing was being born. We had, like, flip cameras everywhere.
Yeah, but it's...
I'm scared. I don't even know where they are.
I don't even know what's on these, and it's so overwhelming. It's like I need to get everything in order and all of these memories and pictures and videos, but it's so difficult. You know,
they call it a digital cleanse. This is one thing that I'm like, it's the Maria Kondo. You do the cleanse of the house, you do the cleanse of the clothes, and then you got to do your digital cleanse. And that's like, if you spend an hour a day cleaning things out digitally, you would be surprised how much you'd actually like even your emails. I have 17,000 unread emails.
Okay, this is a great topic of conversation because Aaron has 600,000 emails. You know how many I have in my thing right now? Zero.
You don't save anything?
It's the Virgo in me. No. Meaning if the ones that I read are there, but all the bullshit ones I actually erase. I don't let them just sit there. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Oh, no. When you look at my little blue email thing, there's no number on it. Yeah.
Shit.
Oh, it feels amazing.
Not me.
And I'll let it get to 100 sometimes. I'm like, oh, God. All right, dude.
Where's my phone? It's right there.
Take some time and just erase. And then it gets clean. And I'm like, all right, we're back to zero.
When I finally have days that I don't have anything, which is probably like not till I'm like about 60, but when, so I'll get to it then. No, but I want to start doing like an hour of like photo cleansing, going through my thing, deleting all photos that are like shitty that I'll never use.
Yeah.
Organizing where they go, you know.
It's a good idea. That's a good stony project too, by the way.
Yeah. You know? It is a good stony project.
Yeah, it is. Because Rio takes my phone and she's just filming shit. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, nah, 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 moving the camera everywhere and filming everything. And it's just a waste. And I have 1,000 videos of that.
The video of her wanting to send to Emma Stone, telling her how amazing she is. She's obsessed with Cruella.
She's obsessed with Cruella. She saw it one time. I watched it with her. And now it's on TV all the time.
That's obsessed
with Emma Stone. She just got her wig, came today. And she put the thing on, she put a mole on, and I mean, when I tell you that she embodies this character, it's crazy. I mean, she walks into the room, she will not break character. And anyway, she
it's like
took,
me with Annie.
Right. She took my phone, she can have your phone, I said, sure, and I went in to deal with Wilder, and she comes out, and it's a video of her wanting to Emma Stone, wanting somehow for me to get it to Emma Stone. And because it's her saying how much she loves her and she's going to be here for Halloween and I love your acting and the whole thing.
She's like, you're just like, she's like, you're like, I just like love you and you're just such a good actress. And she's like, hi, I am Rio Hudson. Hi, Emma Stone. I'm Rio Hudson. Oh, yeah. And I just want to say that I just think you're like so good. You're such a good actress. And she's so cute.
I know. So of course I text Kate and I'm like, okay, do you know Emma Stone? And I sent her the video because I've got to somehow get it to her.
I'll get it to her.
Well, Emma Stone, I think, religiously listens to Sibling Revelry, so she should. She should know after hearing this episode.
Emma, it's her favorite. Yeah. Oh.
Coors Light, baby. Coors Light, one of our longest running sponsors for good reason, because we used the product and we have been using the product since I was 21 years old. We all just need to chill. And this beer is literally made to chill. We want to savor every second of summer.
Summer always feels like the shortest season, but when you need to make the most of it, you just need to chill.
So when you need to slow down,
just have a Coors Light.
Just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. You understand what I'm saying?
It's a cold lagered, cold filtered, cold packaged.
It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies themselves, and I can speak to that personally. Because I live in the Colorado Rockies.
It's perfect for a moment to unwind this summer. Oliver?
Coors Light is the official beer of slowing down summer. Because as the beer that is made to chill, we want you to savor every second of summer. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Hudson. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Bowl and Branch. These are sheets that once you slip into them and roll around in them, you will never want another sheet in your life. You must trust me on this. I create a burrito. I get in my Bowl and Branch sheets and I just roll.
I absolutely love them. They're 100% cotton.
They're organic. And I actually got the blush sheets, which is a really beautiful sort of nude pink color.
I've got them on not just one bed, not just two bed. I've got them on 3 and 4 beds, all in my house. I love Boll & Branch.
And for me, beds are the most important thing, like how we, what, you know, what we're sleeping in and how it supports us when we're sleeping is so important. So I get really excited about a good bed sheet.
Sleep is extremely important. I mean, it is how we heal. Sleep is how we start the day refreshed. And Boll & Branch sheets will allow you to get your best sleep because you are just laying in clouds, baby.
They're crafted to the highest standards and attention to detail from sourcing to packaging. Boll & Branch manufacturing partners are family-owned business that share the same values and standards. So every part of this process of their manufacturing follows some of the most rigorous certifications and audits in the world set by Fair Trade and GOTs, which is so important, and we love that. So you're going to love these sheets.
To experience an entirely new standard of comfort, visit bollandbranch.com. Get 15% off your first set of sheets with promo code SIBLING. That's B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code SIBLING.
Hey, Kate and Oliver. Love the podcast. I've been a subscriber since the first episode and enjoying you two so much. I live in a small Canadian town near Victoria, British Columbia on Vancouver Island. I remember cool. Victoria. I remember watching Goldie Hawn filming Bird on a Wire in Victoria maybe 30 years ago. We were there.
We were there, yep.
Uh-huh. It was exciting to be watching a big Hollywood movie filming in our little city. But what really stays with me about that day was witnessing a warm, genuine family moment. Behind all the busyness, the cameras and equipment, off in a quiet corner in his oversized sweater, hat, glasses, and those unmistakable dimples was Kurt Russell. A few children running around his knees as he quietly watched his wife at work. I was a teenager then, but I remember thinking how wonderfully normal the family seemed. Your family. Someone's working and the other ones are supporting her, hanging out together. It was so cool.
Oh. Well, I mean, there's a chance that could have been Mel Gibson and she was just having an affair and we didn't know it.
No. Mel doesn't have those dimples. The closest person in the world to me is my sister. I love that. And by the way, I remember being in Victoria I remember that house, how cool that house was. And we used to get tutored in that window, that little nook.
Yeah.
I remember the smell of that house. And then we had that outside area and it was always so like green and beautiful. Mm. The closest person in the world to me is my sister. We speak the same language and our lives are completely entwined. She's a year and a half younger than me, so I thought I was the oldest sibling. But it turns out I'm not. We just found out we have a brother we never knew about. Before the pandemic, this guy reached out to us on Facebook. He was almost 50 years old and looking for his father, our father. Of course, our dad's not on social media, but he was able to find my sister and I. This guy really looked like young pictures of our dad. Mm-hmm. He also looked a little like my son. Those familiar eyes in the stranger's profile pic reeled us right in. We had to know more. We went down a rabbit hole on this guy's Facebook page. He's a major oversharer. And he had a blog. A lot of details were shared about his past and his current situation of looking for his father. My sister and I were up all night reading and texting each other. His mom and our dad were together right out of high school. They were engaged. She got pregnant and didn't tell him. She dumped him with no explanation, broke our dad's heart. We never knew any of this about our dad's life. Our brother was finally told the truth before his mother passed away. She lied to him his whole life. But before she died, she told him what happened and who his real father was. He grew up thinking his stepfather, who he never felt a connection to, was his real father. We haven't had a chance to do a real family reunion yet with him But through a pandemic, a DNA test was done by mail, and it is confirmed. A 99.96% positive result that my dad has a son, and we have a brother. Our father lives just over the border in Washington State, but the border remains closed, so we still haven't been able to be in the same physical space as a family yet. We have had some very funny big family Zoom calls, and the three of us siblings have met in person. I also have another niece, and I am in love with her beautiful personality. It's a very interesting time for us. We always wanted a brother growing up, specifically an older brother over the years. We had talked about that very thing. It's bittersweet, though. On one hand, it's happy and exciting to have this new family member. And on the other hand, it's hard to reconcile the fact that we missed so much time not knowing him until we were in our 40s. Sibling relationships grow into their own entities over the decades. It's so much more than DNA. I don't know how someone else fits in our thing just yet. I'm doing my best to just get to know my brother as he is now and not try to think about all the time lost. It's been a ride for sure, and there's so much more to learn and know going forward. We are just grateful for all of it. Thanks so much for doing what you do. It's so genuine and loving. Keep doing it. You are loved. Be well. Christy Pearly. I love that. Well, there's so many things in that. Yeah. I mean, how many of us find out that we have a brother that was, or sister that was adopted? Probably a lot.
Yeah.
That's a good statistic.
Oh, God. Imagine the amount of people who have siblings out there who they have no idea about and probably never will know.
Yeah.
Oh, there's probably millions, probably.
By the way, could get a knock on your door and some chick could be like, hey, sorry, I just felt like you might want to know that. I didn't want to bother you with this, but we have a kid. I'm like, what?
I'd be like, no, I don't.
Don't say that. That's terrible.
Oh, God, I can't even imagine.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, that's what a lot of men feel. It's different, obviously, for women. Because
I don't want that.
Well, yeah,
I'm good.
Boys have to make wise decisions to be very, very careful.
Well, Erin, I mean, remember that? Erin, as my wife, and this is part of the reason I love her, because of her wicked-ass sense of humor.
This was the best.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'll give the short, brief version of it, but I always messed with her, always fucking with her. And I always said to her, I said, you'll never get me because I'm so aware of it. Because I'm always messing with people. And I come home and there's a manila envelope and I open it up and it's a paternity suit. And it's got this girl's name on it, a girl who I was sleeping with in college. It's got the daughter, the timing, everything works out. This is a real document. I am freaking the fuck out. I have to go right to the dentist. I'm calling mom on the way to the dentist, like, mom, it's okay. You know, I don't know what's going on. Like, I think I might have a kid. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I got this paternity suit. And she was strangely calm. And we hung up and I'm thinking, maybe like this has happened to Pa before. And I don't know why she's so calm, but this is crazy life-changing shit that's going on. And I just started Dawson's Creek and it had just come out. So I'm thinking, maybe someone's trying to like extort money from me or I don't know. I'm trying to make an excuse. I get done with the dentist. I haven't called Erin yet. I'm driving down Wilshire Boulevard. I call Erin. I'm like, okay, babe, so I got to talk to you. Something has happened here. And she goes, well, what is it? You know, and I said, well, here's the thing. Like, I think I might be a father. I got this paternity suit and it all matches up. I know the girl. The timing works. This is not a fake document. It's, you know.
Did you
and
cry?
She's just sitting there.
Were you crying?
No.
Oh, that's good.
No.
That's good for you.
No, I know. Yeah, no, it was nice. And then she finally she goes.
This is so cruel.
it's gnarly. It's so gnarly. Finally, she goes. Do you remember when you said that I would never get you? And I was so wrapped up in this, and I'm like, yeah, but what the fuck? Like, I'm trying to tell you something serious right now. I didn't even think that she was about to drop a bomb. And by the way, it is, I think it's April 2nd at this time. Okay.
Right.
Oh, no. It's March 31st. Are there 31 days in March? I don't know the days.
Yes.
Okay. So it's March 31st. And she goes, remember when you said that I would never get you? And I'm like, yeah, but this has nothing to do with that. And then she goes, she's like, April Fools. And I'm like, what the fuck? It's not April Fools. And she goes, I know, but your mother called. Because mom was in on it. But your mom called and was like, honey, you cannot keep this going. Like, he is in a fragile place. His dad wasn't there for him. Like, this is not cool. So Aaron had to cut it off by a day.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, no, but mom. Mom gets so worried about it. Mom hates stuff like that.
Oh, she does not like stuff like that. Because Aaron called like mom
pranks.
And said, this is what I'm going to do.
Mommy
and I
doesn't
know he's
like
gonna
pranks.
Call
she doesn't
you.
Like competitive things. She doesn't like family games.
No, I know.
Mom
and
just doesn't.
Because Aaron had to call mom because Aaron knew I would call my mother. And I did. And mom was so cavalier about it. I was like, something's up. She's like, oh, honey, I'm sure it's nothing. It's fine. And don't worry about it. I'm like, what the fuck? This is real. Oh, God.
Okay. My turn.
Yep.
Hi.
Your turn.
I just wanted to say I love the podcast. I've admired you both for years, and you seem straight up like the best friends everyone dreams of. Just finished the Jesse White, Sean White podcast and loved it. I love that even when it's not people I'm familiar with, I can still relate to their stories and learn something and laugh. Myself and my two sisters lost the heart of our family 3 years ago, our very own Goldie, my mama calf, the glue, the reason and the gift. We've always been the closest of families. A true coven of witches.
Mm-hmm.
Although our dad would replace that first letter. That's funny. That didn't hit me for a second. Staying together as a family whilst navigating grief is a true test of sisterhood. We've discussed often how grief tests family bonds, and we've watched others navigate the same losses, some more successfully and some less. Keep up the amazing work, and most importantly, I hope you stay this close forever. If nothing else, as siblings, you can always say no one else has ever been raised by my parents and have the same childhood memories, and that is something to hold on to. Stay safe, stay grateful, stay loving. Niam or Niam, I'm so mad I'm not getting that right, but thank you. I love this. I'm so sorry you lost your mama. That's just so hard.
I know.
I can't even imagine what that feels like or will feel like, and it's a hard thing to even kind of, you know, contemplate for us. But, you know, it sounds sad that you've got this amazing group of
It's interesting,
sisters.
Though, how she talks about how, you know, grief tests family bonds.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's you'd think you just sort of come together, which hopefully everybody does, but I guess sometimes it can tear you apart.
Oh, my God. I was talking about this the other day. I mean, just think about the will alone, dealing with the whole life that your parents have had or your parent has had and left behind, and the will, and sometimes those things can be so complicated. Who's going to do this? Who's going to go through this? We need to go through that. I don't want to. I'm not ready for it. I mean, it's like there's just so much, and people don't realize how much goes into it, you know. And a lot of times I think wills should be discussed earlier, and that while you're living, you know, everybody should be on the same page to just avoid that part so that you can actually really just grieve.
Yeah.
But like, think about the moment where someone says something and everybody's grieving and one sibling says something and you're like, oh, that never happened.
Well, it's such a sensitive
time. Yeah. You're like, why are you saying that? That never happened. Yeah, like fighting, yeah. Like, you know, oh, now you're going to be that person. Like, you know, mom right. or dad is gone and you're just going to make up stories about them.
Oh, God, you're creating a whole narrative here. I don't like it.
I don't mean to do that. I'm just saying that this would be something that you could see happening, you know, especially in a big family. Okay.
Well, thank you for the email. Now I get the sad warning one, and I'm extremely sensitive right now. Let me see if I can do this. You ready?
Oh.
Hey guys, maybe I'll just read it upbeat. Hey guys, I was a huge fan of both of you before you started the podcast, but the podcast has just elevated my love for you. The way that you approach talking about how important siblings, family dynamics, and relationships are is really unique. I think you've touched a lot of people and should be very proud. I was listening to your podcast religiously because I've always had a complicated relationship with my siblings. As a middle child, my older sister struggled with alcoholism and my younger brother struggled with epilepsy since he was 2 years old. I've had so many moments with both of them that have shaped who I am and how I deal with others. I like to think I'm empathetic and can try to look through the eyes of others. And these two perspectives have truly changed me forever. Here we go. Damn it, Allison. Damn you, Allison.
It's just so hard.
4 months ago, I lost my little brother to epilepsy. I guess SUDEP, sudden unexplained death from epilepsy. In the middle of the night, he had a seizure so severe that he stopped breathing. It was always a possibility. But at the age of 30, we always hoped he was past the risk years. Because if you look up SUDEP communities and who has been lost too, it's a very young group. I've been dealing with the pure loss of such a beautiful human being. And damn it! And only recently was able...
You want me to do it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. I've been dealing with the pure loss of such a beautiful human being and only recently was able to start listening to your podcast again. Before, it was just too emotionally triggering. I wanted to say thank you and express that for some reason, my ability to simply listen to you was a big tent pole in my recovery. I appreciate what you do, and I hope that people are getting as much out of it as me. As a side note, I know you've been open to talking about drugs and its ability to heal and treat. My brother never responded well to typical pharmaceutical drugs. The only thing that started to work in his later years was CBD, the pure CBD that people with epilepsy require is still very expensive and not very accessible through traditional channels. We are in Canada, so things might be different in the United States. We did a fundraiser after his death and raised $20,000 that will go towards the study of CBD for uncontrolled epilepsy, with the aim of getting it FDA approved and more accessible for all. Love you both and thank you. I hope you will continue this well into the new normal. Much love and respect, Emma.
Nice. Wow.
Emma, I'm so sorry you lost your bro.
That's tough. That's tough. That shit gets me, man.
Yeah.
I can't.
It's just so sad. And your brother, you know, I don't know. You just wonder, like, God, why did people have to get these things? You know, why can't we figure out how to fix it? And, you know, science can do so much. And then yet, you know, it's like, I was just reading a story about a boy, a twin who was super young. Like 9 or something. And he had the same thing, had a, you know, epilepsy and passed away. It's just terrible. And I thank you for reaching out, Emma, and sharing the story with us. And also, yeah. I think it is important to talk about CBD and how it's not something that is actually looked at as real treatment. It's looked at as alternative type of treatments. So you can't get them. A lot of times those things aren't insured I don't know what that's like in the States. I'm with you on that, Emma. I don't know, but
I don't either. Actually.
And I don't know if it's FDA approved or not. I haven't really looked into it, but I do know that it's CBD is magical for many people and amazing that it helped your brother so much. So, that's a great, as far as I'm concerned, a great thing to sort of be pushing for, approved, you know, FDA approval. And
thank you. Sorry, I couldn't get through that.
Thank you.
Kate.
Hi, my name is Nikki from Ontario, Canada. Just started listening to your podcast. Love it. I actually stumbled across Oliver's Instagram singing the Saturday song, and it took me out of my bad mood. I'm a mom to 9 kids, ages 2 to 18.
Wow.
We have 5 girls and 4 boys, and we've been really getting to know each other during this lockdown, and I'm excited to get back to normal and school, LOL. I love my kids, and they get along for the most part. It's nice to see my older kids really helping out with the little ones. I've been waiting 18 years for that. So glad it's finally here. I'm a forever listener now, and I love the chemistry you two have. Makes me hopeful. Yay! This is so funny. 9 kids.
Jeez.
Oh my God. What the
wow.
F? That's just insane. 9.
2 to 18. Like you're never out of the woods.
In a lockdown. Well, that's me. I'm 2 to 18, by the way, almost. I'm 2 to 17.
Right. But there's she's
got
3 of them.
She's got, right. She's got 6 yeah. more. That's
yeah.
insane.
Wow.
I love it. I'd love to know more about that. Are they all like same dad, same thing? How old is she? How old's Nikki?
I feel like it's all the same. Feels the same.
Well, I'm so happy that we've been able to, you know,
yeah,
be a part of this lockdown experience with you.
Keep listening because I do more singing on my Instagram. It's my outlet. I'm just trying to show people the real talents.
That's so funny.
Hi there, Kate, Oliver, and Allison. Allison gets a shout out. I decided to write in because I started listening to your podcast last July, coincidentally, right around the same time that my sister and I became estranged from each other. I'm the youngest of 3 kids. I have a brother who is 9 years older than me and a sister who is 6 years older than me. Being the little sister by a decent-sized age gap, I was not incredibly close with either one because I was viewed as the annoying baby sister. When I was 12, our dad passed away from cancer. One good thing that came out of this loss, grief, was that it pushed all 3 of us closer together than ever before. However, as years passed, my sister and I had a hard time remaining close as adults because she stepped into the other parent role until I went to college. I struggled to share and let her in, and she struggled to listen without judgment. I am lucky that my older brother and I are close and see each other often, but my sister lives in Hawaii, and we haven't seen each other much since I was in middle school.
Wow.
She is now married with a 15-month-old baby girl who I've yet to meet because of COVID and the long distance between us, 20 hours of travel time. My sister and I had a fight on the phone in August on the 10-year anniversary of our dad's death and haven't spoken since, despite my attempts to reach out and repair our relationship. Your recent podcast featuring Dr. Carl Pillemer made me feel less anxious and less alone about struggling with a form of estrangement. I even bought his book and read it cover to cover to try and learn something from the other people who deal with this type of emotional weight. I discovered that this affects millions of people, and I should be grateful for my closeness with my brother and my mom. It makes me happy and sad at the same time to listen to how close and cute your sibling relationship is each episode. I am encouraged by your closeness to one another, to work on myself, and to strive to get the band back together again. I miss my sister and hope she knows how much I love her and think about her. Please don't stop doing what you are both doing with this podcast, because I think you are helping more people than you even know by sharing your family with your listeners. With lots of love and thankfulness, Anne.
Anne, I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that with me. I just want to say, like, when I'm thinking, what I love, the best thing about that email is you talking about how you can work on yourself to make those things happen. Because I think that a lot of times we feel like it's like everybody else's issue, and you know, my therapist said to me one time, he's like, you know, you change. The more you change, the more you can see how other people respond. And the more we work on ourselves, the more we can see differently kind of the sort of dynamic and the experiences that we're either, you know, a part of or creating. And at some point, you know, maybe it's just time or maybe it's just the right kind of conversation at the right time. But my hope is that the more that you work on yourself, that your sister will want to continue to hopefully, you know, reconnect.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that that podcast with Dr. Carl gave you some perspective too. It's grateful for the relationships that you have too, you know.
I think that's the hard thing is we can't control other people.
Right.
We wish we could control them and tell them like,
yep.
See, I want you to know I love you. And can't you see this way? And can't you, blah, blah, what the fuck? Like, and we wish we could actually make it different. But at some point, you know, you realize you just have to let go and,
yeah,
you know, the whole let go and let God and hope that it actually comes back. And you can reconnect at some point. But it sounds like you have your mom and your brother and hopefully that will help, you know, that you have that connection.
And there's still time. A lot of things can happen.
Squarespace is basically a one-stop shop to success. Okay? Squarespace empowers millions of dreamers and makers and doers, and they give them the tools they need to bring their ideas to life.
So we've actually been using Squarespace for a while now. I think Allison actually designed the Sibling Revelry website through them, and it's super easy. I've actually went on them one time. I remember I had this idea, this is years ago, for a company. And I was like, I need to see how you build a website. And I found Squarespace and I went on. I actually did the trial and I built this sort of fake website. And if I can do it, anybody can do it on Squarespace.
It's this one-stop shop to creating a brand for your business, and not just their world-class designs, which, by the way, their designs are incredible. They're beautiful. But it's an all-in-one. So it's domains, right? It's websites, online stores, marketing tools, analytics. So you sign on to Squarespace, you use Squarespace, and it's all right there for you to navigate.
I love that you have, you know, the ability, you can customize the look, customize your feel, your settings, products, and more. And it just takes a few clicks. It's very simple, super straightforward.
When you create a website with Squarespace, you get free unlimited hosting, top of the line security, and dependable resources to help you succeed.
It's awesome. We love Squarespace.
So go to squarespace.com/sibling for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code sibling to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Olive and June. So excited to tell you about Olive and June. This is the Manny system. It's the answer to salon perfect nails at home.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine doing a manicure on your own is you're never going to get it the way that you want it. You're never going to get it the way that it looks like in a salon, but that's going to change. That's going to change with Olive and June. It is salon worthy. So, you know, it may seem odd for me to be talking about a Manny system, but I do have a beautiful wife and I have a beautiful 8-year-old daughter who have used the Manny system, specifically my daughter, because she loves doing her nails, as my wife does as well. But the polish looks incredible. I mean, at least from me, I mean, from my eye.
They created a system with all the tools you need in one box. The polish, it lasts up to 7+ days. It does not chip. It's 5 steps, and it comes with Poppy. This is a patented brush handle that makes it easy to paint with both of your hands. So this is like a one-stop shop Manny situation. We love it. I was looking at somebody's Instagram the other day and they had all these like cute decals too. So Olive and June, check them out.
It's an at-home mani system that comes out to just $2. Your new nail life is here. So get 20% off your first mani system when you use promo code SIBLING at oliveandjune.com. We're done with expensive, bad manis. This is the new us, okay?
Second email. Hi there. Obsessed with both Kate and Oliver and your series. I'm 35-year-old twin, fraternal twin. We have a 33-year-old brother who was born blind, Brian. Our story isn't complicated, but perhaps inspiring. Short version, both of our parents struggled with addiction and alcoholism, depression as well. My mom raised us and did a phenomenal job.
Hold on.
We always felt
a
new...
Hold on. They started, whoever, I don't know what their name is yet, but... They said, our story isn't complicated, but perhaps inspiring. Short version, our parents struggle with addiction and alcoholism, a depression. I mean, isn't that complicated?
Yeah, but maybe there's a...
I mean, that sounds complicated.
Yeah,
I mean, right out the
bat, complicated.
It sounds like there's a lot of complicated. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, wow.
Right.
I
mean, that's interesting.
How amazing that you can think that... That's not complicated. I can't wait to see where the rest of this.
I wish
story
Jesus.
Goes.
I know. If I. Oh God. I know. I know. I wish I. I wouldn't. I mean.
This is. I'm in. I'm hooked.
God. I want to. I wonder what complicated means for this person.
I already feel.
Anyway.
Complicated. Okay.
I know. Jeez. Okay. So my mom raised us and did a phenomenal job. We always felt and knew we were loved.
Oh.
When my sister and I hit our mid-teens, our mom went downhill with drug and alcohol use, and parenting wasn't that great anymore. But the structure and bones had been instilled in us, and we had amazing grandparents.
Awesome.
I moved out right before I graduated high school, and my sister moved out at 19 to North Carolina to live with my dad. My brother stayed because he was in his late teens, and our home was all he knew. My mom spiraled, and my brother moved his room to the basement to get away from her. She could be nasty, and it was a very unhealthy environment. Brian got a job after high school and survived. We have a stepdad who we are all thankful for, but he didn't play much of a role in all that. In all that happened. My dad committed suicide in February 2009, and my mom died February 2010. I moved to North Carolina to be with my sister in 2009 after my dad died, and that was one of the best decisions I've ever made. We have a closeness and bond I could never explain in words, probably unhealthy how much I depend on her, LOL. We have finally got our brother to move here to North Carolina after 12 years of trying. He belongs with us. He will be here next week, actually. He's terrified as he is leaving all he has ever known, and that's a little more intense when you don't have one of your senses. He's strong and will be fine, and my sister and I are ecstatic. We are all successful, happy adults. Our sense of humor is great, if I do say so myself. I think it's a great testament to having a shitty hand dealt to you and that it shouldn't define you and your choices, and it hasn't for the three of us. Best, Carla.
Oh,
whew. That is inspiring.
That is so inspiring.
I'm not sure it's not complicated.
It's very complicated.
But it is extremely inspiring.
I think what's so interesting is like that she's saying that the foundation was there. But what a sad thing to see it kind of fall apart, you know? God, addiction is just so...
Gnarly.
Ugh,
I know.
It just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because it just takes a hold. It's like, I don't know. I guess because I'm really grateful, knock on wood, that nobody in our family has really struggled with addiction.
I know,
but I'm very close to many who have and continue to.
Yeah, but they just fight, man. It's that fucking fight. It's that human instinct to survive and to be the best of you, to be the best you can be. And you need each other, and that's what's great too. You know, they brought their brother over after that much time, and now they're a trio living in North Carolina and living the best that they can after having been through all of that. I mean,
It's so great that
it's inspiring.
So close.
It's really amazing. And I'm worried that I, you know, can't get a job. Jesus. Fuck me. Yeah. Really. I mean, it does put things into perspective, these emails. It really does. You know, I'm a very lucky person, very grateful. You know, you got to be reminded of it, though, sometimes.
I feel like the brother, I mean, that's also a really interesting thing, you know, because when you're, you know, born blind and just in your familiar settings, that kind of transition to then move someplace that's completely new and foreign must be really, really challenging and nerve-wracking, you know?
It probably becomes by rote, you know, you actually have, you've physically experienced your surroundings, so it's easier to be mobile. But imagine moving to a whole nother fucking place. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's got to be gnarly and a real decision, you know? But good for them.
I really love when people who have really, like he said, been dealt that kind of really shitty hand define who they are for themselves, not by the hand that they were dealt, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I sometimes wonder, I'd be intrigued to kind of look into this further. I mean, I have in my own way, I've read a lot of books about these things, especially addiction. I wonder where that comes from, if that's nature or nurture. You know, I wonder if your ability to sort of see past, what is it that, I mean, I guess there's the survival mechanism, but what is it that allows a person to actually be able to see, redefine their life and not carry the burden?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, it is. We're all made up so differently.
Email. Thank you, Carla, for writing in.
Hi, Ollie. I'm a longtime listener of your podcast. Love, 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 love you and Kate. I've heard you mention about withdrawing from Lexapro recently and couldn't help but reach out. I never do this, but I can't not. I'm sure you've done your research, but in case you haven't, SSRI withdrawal is a very real thing. I've attempted to come off my Lexapro 4 times now, having to always reinstate. I am currently 1 year into my current weaning. 1 year into weaning. It did not take me that long. Yeah. Maybe that's my problem. I started at 10 milligrams and I'm now at 2.6. So I was at 20 milligrams and got to 2.5 and then went off of it. I didn't wean past 2.5 and it took me, I don't know, 2 months, and she's, I don't know if it's a she or he, but, you know, they're into it. It's already been a year in. Anyway, I've learned everything I'm doing at the moment from survivingantidepressants.org and Laura Delano from her Inner Compass Initiative.
Cool.
It can be a bit of a rabbit hole once you look into this stuff. I take it all with a grain of salt, take what I need and leave the rest. When I hear you talk about your current anxiety, I can't help but relate. During one of my withdrawal attempts, I was at every doctor known to man, convinced something was wrong with just about every organ in my body. Oh, gosh. The second I went back on my medication, it all went away. Anyways, to keep this short, I hear you and relate so, so, so much. And there are so many others who do as well. Medication has its place, but many people have also been damaged by its use. We need more focus and support now more than ever on how to safely get people who want to come off their medications off. Mm-hmm. A researcher, psychiatrist, Mark Horowitz, issued a research paper on safe deprescribing. So we are getting there. Anyways, I don't expect to hear back. You did. All I hope is that this message reaches you. It did. All my love and sincerest healing energy your way, Ollie.
I love that so much. Yeah, I mean, it's really great. True, isn't it? Because, you know, we have the, it's like, you know, it's easy to medicate, but, you know, you don't want to stay on these depending on obviously what your situation is. For a lot of people, they go on anxiety medication, but, you know, want to wean themselves off of it or go on it to do some work, and then the idea is to get weaned off of it, you know?
Yes, yes, I agree. And I personally was just on it, you know, too long. It's like 5 years and just popping the pill, doing that every night. And when, you know, I personally, and this is only my personal, you know, it's dealing with my personal issues and my chemistry. I didn't need this to be, or I don't think I need it to be sort of a lifelong drugs. Some people do. There's no doubt about that. But for me, it was to sort of get right, to get in therapy, really get into sort of myself. It allowed me to sort of open up a little bit more without having the anxiety of just life. And then it was, and then it's time to wean off. But I just sort of, I don't know, just kept popping the 20. Kink, 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 kink. You know, it's like J. Cole says, you don't want to medicate. You got to meditate.
I'm down with that. But I also, you know, I also do, I'm grateful for the medication that
oh, helps gosh, without a doubt. I would never rail against that. You know, I like science. I think these drugs are amazing. They do amazing things for people. No doubt about it. Mm. None at all. All right. Shall we answer one last question?
Yes. So the question is from a listener who said, I love the relationship you two have as siblings. So here's my question for you two. If you had to give advice to yourselves looking back that could help grow your sibling relationship for the future, what would it be? Ooh. Ooh.
That's a good question. I mean, it, I guess it depends how far back we're going. Mine would probably just be more communicative, expressing how I feel, talking to you more, including you more in my life and my ups and downs of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Communication is good. I mean, I like that.
Yeah.
I think it would be, it's a hard thing because it would, again, this like leans toward something that I had to work on or would have had to work on, which is that instead of feeling rejected by you all the time, that I didn't personalize the rejection, even though you made it very hard not to personalize it. But I think that trying to find a way, or honestly, working with our family differently so that that sense of...
And I would say specific to you and I too, that there was a gap, you know, when you were working and married and there was a separation of sorts, I guess. You know, if I was to give myself advice back then, it would be like, well, you know, keep in touch, stay connected.
Oh,
but I
yeah.
guess that's just part of life, I guess. You know, well, I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, but I think that part of the issue for us was the fact that we didn't have a tight bond when we were young. We had, we were together. We were like, but like, it wasn't, you know, you didn't ever want me around. Then you went to college and then we like hung out and partied and had fun when we were together. And we got closer, and then I got married and I was working and it was whatever. And then that time for me, you know, was just sort of starting my own thing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even that long. I mean, think about it. Like, I was back in LA. By the time I was 24, I had Ryder. So I was in LA, and I mean, I traveled a lot, but I was home.
Yeah.
But I think you're right.
On the road.
I think keeping
it's a good question.
Yeah, no, I think honestly what would have shifted and made our relationship different, or advice that we would give to ourselves would be probably, I hate to put it like on you like this, but for Oliver to be more accepting of me, you know, when I was younger, like brought me in, would bring me in more and nicer. I mean,
yeah, I know. Well, we've talked about this. Like, how could I have been? I was all weird.
All
I was all
up.
Weird myself. You know?
I know. But it's not like we didn't have like a crazy bond. You know, like when you think about it, it's like we did so much together. But then,
yes,
when we were sort of home and. I don't know. There was always like a push-pull. There's always a lot of rejection from you.
Well, that was a great... That's a very good question. I like that question.
I could have probably, for myself, if I'm thinking about it, I could have...
God, I can't wait for this. This is a long pregnant pause.
Well, no. I'm just thinking about my reactions to those things and like not having the reaction, but I could have had more. And I was a fighter by nature. Like my nature was to like bust my way through versus mm-hmm. just being like, oh, you're mean. I'm just going to go sit in my room by myself. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah, but I'd like,
I know, but I probably could have learned to just not be so.
It's hard to reflect on these things. We're so young, and honestly, everything led us to where we are now. So there's not much I would change necessarily. It's an interesting reflection, but I don't have any regrets. I wouldn't have done it any differently. I didn't know. I wouldn't even know how to do it any differently at the time. You know, we're evolving. Constantly shifting.
I like changing. What you're saying about communication. As we got older, I think maybe in the 20s, in our 20s.
Yes, yes.
Stronger communication. But we didn't have like fucking FaceTime and phones and shit. We had like flip phones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was like 2000 to 2005.
Yeah.
We had like our little Nokias. And I know. Blackberry was like 2005, right? Or something? Four?
God, I don't five. Remember.
So like that era was kind of old school. We would have had to like fax each other or call each other on our flip phone.
you should do that from now on. Just fax each other.
I'll like fax you little drawings. Okay. Oh, this was so fun. Emails.
I love these episodes.
I do too.
Even though like, I'm always crying and like cannot control myself, I just love them.
Yeah.
It makes me happy. Honestly, it brings me pride in a way that like people are listening.
You happy? Then why the hell you gotta be so sad?
That's good. That's perfect for like my life. Anyway, love you guys. Love everyone.
You guys.
Hey, remember, yep. Write in siblingsubmissions@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson.
Producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.
If you want to show us some love, rate the show and leave us a review. This show is powered by Simplecast.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.